Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Good Calls. I'm Dean Blandino. As always, joined by the Caucasian rattlesnake, Serpiente Blanco, Travis Hansen.
What's up, Dean? How you doing?
Good. I'm good. And on audio, Joe Madrid. Joe wants me to tell the listeners he apologizes for the crappy quality. He's working on it, but his skills are not allowing him to fix it.
That's right, not exactly now. What and I wanted.
No, Joe, you don't get to speak. And then we have a special guest, our colleague from Fox Sports Studio, Scott Tamil. Scott is the straw that stirs the drink on Saturdays and Sundays. So we thought it'd be great to bring Scott on, have him be a contributor, and make this not a regular thing, but maybe a semi-regular thing. So, Scott, what's up?
Not much. Just it's good to be back. I know my first appearance was lauded. People loved it. I would never hear the end of it.
You're up there with my brother. We need to bring my brother on.
Oh, we've got to get him back.
We'll bring him on soon. Maybe next week to hear how he's handling everything with what's going on. So this is, we were having a debate. This is either episode 34 or 35. Joe thinks it's 35. Travis and I think it's 34. But Joe's counting a promo episode or kind of an intro to the podcast as one full episode. So Scott, you're going to break the rule. You're going to break the debate here and create the rule. Is that promo kind of intro a full episode? Should we count it as one, or should we just go by every episode that we've actually done a complete podcast?
Can I say something before this is answered?
Okay, Joe, say something.
There's 30. That episode is on the podcast site. It's also on the Megaphone website. So it's okay. There.
All right. That's fair enough. Scott, you're ruling?
I mean, if there's just like a promo that counts as an episode, like it is taking the space, but it's not an episode. If it was just like, get ready for this new podcast.
We're always talking about weeks, and this is week 34 of the show.
This is week 34 of the show. So this is going to be week 34. And what we're going to do is we're going to come up with, we'll all pick a former or current sports an athlete that wears the number 34 or wore the number 34 and come up with who was the best 34. And that's who we'll name the episode after. So everybody Google best 34s, come up with your best person. I'll give you a second.
Well, we did this last week because we thought last week was 34.
Well, we're going to do it again.
All right. Well, I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay.
There's a lot of good 34s.
34 is deep.
34 is solid. It's a really solid number. So, Joe, you ready? Travis, you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Ready.
Scott, you ready?
Yeah, I mean, I did listen to the podcast from last week, too, and I'm ready also.
And it could be your favorite 34. Like, who is it? Sorry, Joe, you go.
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, good one.
That was one we forgot last week. That was good. The one I said last week was a guy I always think of at 34, Sir Charles. I think with the two-hand dunks. Love that guy.
Charles Barkley. Travis loves Charles Barkley. There you go. Scott?
I mean, I know this was kind of what was thought of last week too, but Walter Payton, because he just – you know, I didn't really get to see him play at all, but even growing up, he was just thought of as like, this guy is the greatest running back of all time. And when you would see those NFL films of all his highlights, you're just like, this guy is amazing. And then just, you know, they named the award after him. He was just a great guy all around in his personal life as well.
100%. And I'll get to my guy in a second, but Walter Payton, you know, I met Walter Payton at Super Bowl in New Orleans. I think that was Super Bowl. It was the Patriots and Packers, whatever number that was. And I met Walter Payton, and I actually have a picture with him, me and two of my friends with Walter Payton. And he was like, he hung out with us. He was joking with us. The picture, he's putting up his fingers behind my head. And obviously the Walter Payton Award on and off the field. So unbelievable guy. Great choice, Scott.
But that'd have been 31, Super Bowl 31.
Yeah, exactly. And but for me, since I would have went with Walter Payton, but I want to go with somebody different. And this is somebody we didn't talk about last week. Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, good call.
Right? Good call there. Nolan Ryan. Yeah. So I don't know. We're going to have to put it up to a vote. Joe, we'll do a poll. I think all good choices. We'll do a poll and we'll come up with who the best 34 is out of those four.
Just to throw in an honorable mention, one for me is Earl Campbell. Like, he changed the running back position.
There's no honorable mention. You'll get one. So right. Stop being annoying. All right.
Can we talk about his hair for a second?
Yeah. Did you shave your head?
As if he couldn't get any whiter.
What? But now you're going to. Now you're treading in dangerous white territory. Like you're really white. We don't want you to go like far right.
Yeah, we don't want you American History X status.
Be careful.
Get it all out. Keep it coming. What else do you got, guys?
Just be careful.
Well, for the people who can't see him, it's not like he shaved it.
No.
It's a buzz cut.
Yeah. I cut it with the three. So we had the conversation a couple of weeks back. It's like I was wasting all that Murray's doing my hair at the house. So I don't have anyone to do my hair for. So I just shaved it off. It's easier this way. It'll grow back in like a month when I go back to work and I'll be good to go.
It's a quarantine.
I need a haircut. My hair is my hair hasn't been this long since I was like five.
Dean, come by tomorrow. Jerry's coming. He's cutting me.
Come by at some point. Those of you who don't know, Joe's brother is a hairdresser. I actually met Joe through Joe's brother, Jerry. Jerry was cutting my hair and said, yo, you got to meet my brother. And then I go to meet his brother and he's wearing a full Lakers outfit with a headband. So anyway, all right, let's get into it. Let's get into it. We had a big event. It happened. We kind of all talked about it. The NFL draft, we all thought this was going to be really cool. That it was going to be different and cool. We talked about that, you know, leading up to the draft, and it played out that way. It was just like such a cool experience. Obviously, a much needed kind of, you know, break from all of the gravity of what's been going on, you know, around the country and around the world. And there was just so many just amazing moments.
Oh my God.
From the draft. I mean, you know, you can go through the list of things that we saw that was just amazing. And first, let's start with, we went through kind of the technical details and how that was going to work. And I just want to say kudos to, you know, the NFL and the IT team. I worked with a lot of these people that put this together. And they worked a lot of long hours and it was stressful because think about, you know, something happening and a team not being able to make a pick and things like that. So a lot of people worked really hard on this draft, and kudos to those people at the NFL, you know, and not just the IT. I mean, there were so many people involved, and it really went off. It went off without a hitch.
If you hadn't seen the draft before, you wouldn't have known anything different because it was well done.
But the moments that, you know, people are talking about. So everybody, the kind of, one of the themes was that Roger Goodell was kind of, you know, I know Roger, I've worked with him. I consider him a friend. And I think people just were like, thought he was a little bit dull, I guess was the word. Like, that's what I was reading. What did you guys think? And I'll kind of get into, you know, his personality a little bit.
To me, he seemed a little robotic. Like he's just, everything was well, like scripted and he just read it and he didn't show much personality, but that's my take.
The
two things that came up, and this was not just me noticing this, lots of people talked about, is one, he changed a couple times, which was interesting.
Yeah,
like he's like a host of like the Oscars where his costume changes. And then there was that recliner he was in or that chair, and it just looked weird. He's like slouching into it. People were making jokes about him being drunk or whatever. It was just weird where it's like he's standing at some point, he's sitting other points, he's changing. It felt like he was overthinking every step.
Joe, thoughts?
I'm not a huge fan and I got nothing.
Why not?
I think he's boring. He's more boring than, I'm not a fan. He's a dork.
So here's the thing. Now, that's not easy, right? You think about the first round, 3+ hours. And then, you know, he did the second round. I think he went into the third round on Friday. But, that's not easy to sit there and to constantly, you know, you're in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, and Roger has a good personality. And if you sit down with him, my favorite times with him were, you know, sitting down at a league meeting, you know, away from all the business side of it, having a beer or glass of wine and just being able to talk. So he has a good personality. He's not that comfortable in terms of that standing up in front of a camera, and whether it's speaking off a teleprompter or kind of that whole thing. And how many times do you guys see either myself, Pereira is really good at it, but I struggle sometimes with stand-ups in the studio where you're trying to do a, you know, talk about a play and you're in front of the camera and you kind of got to just regurgitate some thoughts and ideas. And so that's not easy. But you know, it is tough. And I think people, you know, they want to see his personality, and I don't think that's a comfort zone for him. So I think that's what it came across. I thought, you know, and one of the guys that's in the room with him that just was one of the support people is this guy, Chris Vassallo. And Chris works in the NFL IT department. I've known Chris for a long time, but Chris is the same guy. So Chris was just off camera, right behind the camera and helping Roger through it all. Chris is the same guy that, if you remember, and if you haven't seen it, Google it, the infamous Robert Kraft video with his girlfriend
during
the audition.
Yeah.
Chris is the guy that Mr. Kraft punched in the audition.
Wow.
So this Chris has some really good stories to tell his grandchildren.
I'm sure.
That he was in the basement with Roger during the first virtual draft. And he was also part of that infamous audition tape with Robert Kraft and his girlfriend. So
did you see that? There's that fan box whenever they were about to announce the draft. Yes. I saw like an Instagram video, I think, might have been a TikTok, whatever, of like those were live.
They were live.
Because there was like one where like a friend, like her roommate or something, where she was one of the cheerleaders, and they go from like the living room into her bedroom where she's like set up. And I was just like, that's a lot.
They sent out these camera setups to not only the clubs. They had to have everything, you know, multiple, because each person was in their own home. And then the draft picks, these fans. So it was like a big, big production.
In the press release, it said over 600 camera
views. Yeah, no question. And the funny thing is the Chargers got flack because they were the only team that didn't have enough fans in the screen. They had the Chargers logo.
Yeah.
I had sent that to you guys because I thought it was hilarious, but then I kept watching. There were other teams that didn't have them. Probably feeds just went.
Oh, there was something. Okay.
I think even the Chiefs didn't have, there was a couple of times where boxes were out.
But it was funny because
maybe the camera didn't work or cut out at that point. And they had, but the other cool thing about the draft is not only we got to see Commissioner Goodell's basement, but we got to see coaches, GMs, their homes, their setups. And the two that jumped out to me, and it was like the contrast, there was actually three because Scott's wearing a hat that reminded me of it.
Yep.
The contrast between Bill Belichick's setup and Cliff Kingsbury's setup was unbelievable. Like, you have Bill like in his, I don't know what that table looked like, a backgammon board. And so he's in his place in Nantucket. He always has that Apple computer. Like, the NFL has a deal with Microsoft and Surface, and they give...
They had to cover it up. Did you see that?
Always. Bill always has his Apple with him. At league meetings, he sits at that table, and he has his Apple computer. And sometimes, like, the meeting would be going on, and he'd be doing something on the computer, and I'm like, I'm dying to know what he's doing on that computer. But, so you had that, and then you had Kingsbury's house, which is right out of Architectural Digest. And he's sitting there, you know, looking all cool. And he's got his setup and Camelback Mountain and the backyard. And it was just
the fire pit in 90-degree weather.
Like, the difference is, actually, it gets cold. And it's the desert. It can get cold still.
No, it's like time. 90 in Arizona right now. It's hot.
It was funny. But then I saw McVay, like Sean McVay, in his place in Encino. And he had a similar backyard setup as Kingsbury. And, you know, and that was the whole deal when they were hiring these coaches before 2019, is they wanted the McVay prototype, you know, like Kingsbury and Zach Taylor and Matt LaFleur. So they're taking it to the next level and even designing their homes like Sean McVay. So I thought that was interesting. And the other one that jumped out, because Scott's a Vikings fan, was Zimmer's place with the Bucks on the wall, like the deer head on the wall. It was that to me was hilarious as well.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So you guys have already deemed me your douchiest friend.
You are.
Who's the douchiest coach in the NFL? And this is a loaded question.
Who's the douchiest coach in the NFL?
Yes, douchiest coach.
Well, I mean, look, you're going that you feel like Cliff was flexing and showing that. So you're going to say, the thing is, Joe, we all flex at some point. We all want that attention, right? Every time we post on Instagram, every time we do, we're flexing, we're doing something. We want people to notice us. So I don't have a problem with it. It's fine.
Okay.
I think it just shows a lot of the coaches, they're just, you know, football is their life and they're just kind of, they don't put much thought into their living space. It reminds me of like if when I was like right out of college, like, oh God, it'd be sick to have a bar in my place, yeah, have all the boys come over and we just hang out. And like, you know, like Belichick's looked like a beach house almost, kind of like,
it's
a,
in
like
tough. That's what,
yeah,
it is. Yeah,
yeah, it looked like a beach house, like side room.
The other one that went viral was Mike Vrabel. The scene, did you see the scene in Mike Vrabel's house during that one? And so there was so much going on, and the guy in the Titans outfit. And
was that a son of his or just a guy?
I think, I don't know. I don't know who it was, but I think the internet went crazy because in the background of that one shot, it was his son, and it looked like his son was on the toilet. And people were going, oh my God, his son was on the toilet. But then you watch the video and it was actually, he's just on a bar stool in the kitchen. Mm. But it was like the internet, like we wanted Mike Vrabel's son to be on the toilet. Like we need that right now. Like we need that moment in the middle of this craziness. And that's, it was like, it was so outrageous that people would think that, but it was like, they wanted it to be. That's why they started talking about it. So it was so many cool things. And you look, think about the draft picks and them sharing the moments with them, with their families and being able to see their families. And the one, you know, CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend, like trying to grab his phone and then him snatching it away.
And the look.
Like the look. And so I guess here's a couple of interesting facts about that is CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend used to date which former Oklahoma basketball star that plays in the NBA today?
Oh, Blake Griffin.
No. Mm. What Blake, Travis, she's probably like 20.
That's the only Oklahoma basketball player I could think of.
Come on. Who did she used to date?
This is Scott. This is Scott's realm here.
Scott,
I don't know.
NBA,
wait. No, he's too old too.
Part of a trade, a draft day trade. Trae Young. He used to date Trae Young.
I forgot he even played at Oklahoma.
I did too.
Yep. He had a great tournament the last year. He was good. He is good. I mean, he's been great. A stud.
He's been a way better pro than I thought he was going to be, than most people did, I think.
Yeah. And that was a big, and people think, people are thinking that Dallas won that trade. I don't know. I mean, obviously Luka is unbelievable, but the Hawks got picks as well. I think one of those picks turned into Cam Reddish. So if one or more of those guys develop in addition to Trey, that could be a pretty even trade. So she used to date Trey Young. The explanation was he was on the phone with Dallas and his agent was trying to FaceTime him. So she was trying to answer for him to just tell his agent that he was on the line with Dallas. So that was the answer. Speaking of Dallas, Uncle Jerry, and I refer to him as Uncle Jerry because I want him to be my uncle. The setup, they were on the yacht and that white couch, like he looked like a supervillain. That was amazing. It was amazing. Like the whole setup, like that yacht must be unbelievable. That yacht probably puts Kingsbury's place to shame, but unfortunately we didn't get to see the rest of it.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, like I said, it was a great experience. I think we needed something like that, that distraction. And I think the NFL, look, you know, the people I talk to, they'll incorporate elements of this, no question. And the NFL has a way of doing things like this and doing it right. And I think this is something that you'll see you know, more and more. I've seen those GMs and coaches being able to share that experience with their kids. That was cool. And just everything else, the families, when these guys are working, especially this time of year, they're working insane hours. They don't get to see their families that much, and they get to share it and have those moments captured forever. So that was pretty cool. Talking of the draft, I mean, were there surprises for you guys that jumped out in terms of the, you know, the draft, the picks themselves?
Before we get to that, can we talk about Gettleman? And you mentioned it about his mask after making the first pick, but how about like on the third day, he's wearing the mask when he's all by himself. Like that's new.
Dave's recovering. He's recovering from leukemia.
Oh, wow. Now it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. So he's
sorry about that.
appreciate you, Travis, bringing that up and trying to make light of it.
I didn't know. I mean, how
he's, you know, a leukemia survivor. So obviously his immune system, I don't know Travis, if you understand a lot about this virus, but it does, you are at more risk if your immune system is compromised in some way. And typically cancer patients have a compromised immune system, Travis. So when next time you try to make a joke about somebody, could you do a little research before you do that, please?
I will. Nice.
That was good.
So, any picks that surprised you?
Jalen Hurts going to the Eagles. The Packers.
Everybody's talking. Yeah, Green Bay is
draft Jordan is kind Love. Of
the talk well, here's, yeah, I think those obviously those are two. Obviously, the Jalen Hurts people jump to conclusion to say, okay, you know, they don't trust Carson Wentz because he's injury prone and they want to have, and look, there's an element of that, but I feel like what you're going to see is you may see like a Taysom Hill type thing with Jalen Hurts in Philly. Doug Peterson is a very innovative coach. You remember the Philly special in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. So I think you could see Jalen Hurts, not just because Carson Wentz is certainly, you know, he's early in his career. And so I think you could see Jalen Hurts in, you know, included in the offense and doing some things outside of just being a backup quarterback. And because it's way too early in his career for this to be the heir apparent to Carson Wentz, you know, so that's, you know, I think that's what Philly has kind of in mind. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, Taysom Hill, obviously you see the value that the Saints put in him. They just redid his deal 2 years, something like 17, 18 million. For a guy that doesn't play, you know, all that much, but when he does play, he has an impact. So I think that's something you could look to. The other, you know, obviously the Jordan Love pick with the Packers, that raises a little more eyebrows in terms of are the Packers, you know, are they looking for the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers? You think about, but is it too soon? If you go back, similar to when the Patriots drafted, you know, Garoppolo. I'm sure they thought that Brady would start to kind of wear down and start to his production would decline and Garoppolo would be the next guy up, but it just took too long. Brady was performing at a high level and they ended up rather than pay him a ton of money to be a backup, they ended up trading him and obviously you look what he's doing in San Francisco. So is it still too early though? Does Aaron Rodgers still have enough football? He's only 36. I mean, he's certainly not crazy to think he doesn't have at least 4 or 5 more productive years.
How tall is he?
I don't know. What's that?
How tall is Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. He's probably 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's got some time left.
Yeah, I think, again, he's been, if not the best, one of the best quarterbacks you know, in the last couple of years. And so again, we'll see. And maybe Jordan Love's a guy that the backers could use in a couple of different ways. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is draft grades and the idea of draft grades, because this I've kind of seen, you know, to me on one hand, it seems silly to grade the draft because we don't know, right? We don't know if these players are going to pan out. I'm sure every team feels good about their draft. I'm sure every team feels good about their previous drafts, and not every player, it's a very small percentage of players that get drafted that make Pro Bowls. You know, you're really looking as you get into the later rounds, you're looking to see if you can get, you know, a couple of starters, get people that contribute on special teams. So the idea of draft grades is seems silly, but from the other perspective, I get it in that if teams have needs going into the draft and there's certainly value to every pick, if they address those needs. And I think that's, to me, where a draft grade is possible. Did they address the needs that they had? going into the draft, and did they get good value for those picks? No one knows how these players are going to pan out. But that's why, you know, when you think of the Packers draft, yeah, they drafted Jordan Love high, but they didn't draft any receivers in what was, you know, considered a very, very good receiver class. So that to me was surprising. And that's where I think when you start grading drafts, that's how you can do it. But no one knows. I mean, it takes 3 years before you can probably grade a draft accurately as to how these players are going to pan out. Look at Scott's Vikings. I'm sure he's been excited about every Vikings pick, you know, the last 5 years. And all we do is hear him complain about the Vikings on Sundays. So.
We keep drafting receivers in the first round who don't do anything. So that's always a...
Yeah. So who was the last... I mean, was Diggs a first rounder?
No, I don't believe so. I believe the last receiver we drafted in the first round was Treadwell. He's still on the team, I think, but he's just like been buried as a third or fourth option. Sure. And then it's not been great, but it's been nice to see the Jordan Love thing just because I get more excitement and enjoyment out of the Packers fans feeling depressed. And right now, we don't know how it's going to turn out for years, but right now, most of them are really angry, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's that Vikings-Packers love-hate relationship or hate-hate relationship in the NFC North. All right, you know what? Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into, hopefully, not cancellations, but when things are coming back. Next on Good Calls. All right, we're back on Good Calls. Let's get into hopefully the start of things starting to reopen. And you know, I know there's some things, look at states like Florida and Georgia starting to open up a little bit. I know they opened up the beaches in San Diego, I believe this week, today. And so just in the sports world, Travis, what's happening? What's the latest in terms of when are we going to start to see some things come back?
Well, when we're going to see some things come back, we got a great event coming up potentially in May with Brady and Mickelson versus Manning and Woods in a golf match that'll be televised on TNT. That'll be fun to watch. It's you know, big names in both.
That'll
of
do sports. Well. I mean, that'll
yeah.
do well. In the
yeah. You know, speaking of doing well, like the draft was up 35% from last year. From 6.2 on day one to 8.4. So like huge numbers. So that would do a massive number. Another one that'll do a massive number is UFC returning May 9th for pay-per-view. They're talking UFC 249, Ferguson versus, I don't even want to attempt to butcher this name. I'll leave that one up to you guys.
Justin Gaethje. So I want to just talk about the UFC for a second, because I was really looking forward to Fight Island. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Sounds like a reality show.
But can you imagine Dana White? So they were going to have this card originally was going to be in April. And it was going to be at the Native American reservation, a casino here in California. And then Disney put the kibosh on that. But could you imagine that phone call to Dana White? If that was like actually like, like, who's the chairman of Disney? Iger? Who is it?
Isn't it Iger?
Yeah, he just stepped down, no?
Well,
no,
whoever.
Never mind. Yeah.
Whoever it is matter. Calling Dana White, and what would Dana White's reaction? Because to me, he is the imagine Dana White being the commissioner of the NFL. Like, the stuff that he says is hilarious. And I think the draft, imagine Dana White in his basement conducting the draft versus Roger Goodell.
Which that reminds me, I was watching Last Dance. We'll get back to that later. We're going to talk about it. But during a press conference, Doug Collins drops an F-bomb. And it's like, that would never happen now. This is great.
Did you see the new thing Dana's doing where there's some contest and he's letting a fan make a fight?
Yeah, you can win. They're doing a couple of promotions. You'll win. You can win a, you know, all expenses paid trip to watch a UFC in Vegas with Halle Berry.
Yeah, with Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
She's a big
Halle
UFC
Berry
fan. Yeah.
Is like a big UFC fan. There's some other things that you can win, you know, sparring sessions and different things. So
you're
doing
a
lot of
promotions.
Obviously, try to That's what I want.
I want to spar with a UFC fighter. No thanks.
Imagine if it's like one person gets to hang out with Halle Berry and then the other's like, you get to spar with a fight. It's like, yeah. I really wish I got the other.
Which one's first prize and which one's second prize, right?
Yeah. It's like,
What else, Travis? What else is on the
horizon? Yeah, a story that came out on Monday was the NBA's targeting no earlier than May 8th for facilities to open up and individual workouts in states that don't have the stay-at-home restrictions, which is crazy because there's so many teams in California and there's no talk of Newsom opening stuff up again anytime soon.
Yeah, well, hopefully that changes,
right?
Because then I'm moving to Florida or Georgia
or just Newport Beach.
But apparently, did you see? So the reason I saw that was, and it was great because I was texting with him. So Joel Klatt, who I follow on Twitter, obviously our colleague at Fox Sports, he tweeted out those pictures. So there was these pictures of what was supposedly Newport Beach with all these people on the beach, and he tweeted out. He says, "I live in Newport. I don't recognize any of this." And then to which Brady Quinn responded, hashtag flex or weird flex or whatever it was. And so I think it was
Huntington Beach that was open that had tons of people, like 30,000 or something.
So I don't know if those pictures were actually Newport, but because Joel was confused. And then obviously Brady made a joke, and I was texting Brady because I wanted to, like, I told Brady, I want to reply to your thread, but I don't want to, people are going to get upset. I was going to post a picture of Monaco and be like, hey, I live in Monaco, you know, like why this doesn't look like
I have it, a second but, home there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, where is Brady though? Is he in
Florida? Brady's
right? In Florida. Yeah.
Brady's Florida. Okay.
Yeah, Clearwater or something, right? Isn't he in Tampa?
No, he's not. I think he's on the East Coast. You want to give out Brady Quinn's address?
What's his address? Yeah, what's his zip?
Travis, his number too.
Travis, you've joined a white supremacy group.
I can't look at him.
You're making fun of leukemia survivors, and now you're trying to give out people's address on what has happened.
White supremacists don't drink wine, dude.
That's human blood. What has happened to you right now? Is it finally gotten to you? Is quarantine finally, you know, finally made you just say screw it?
No. It's just an easy, clean look. I don't have to mess with the hair.
I'm trying my best to make him uncomfortable virtually.
You can't do it. You can't do it when I'm not sitting next to you.
It's so much easier when you're within my reach. And obviously, I don't know when that's ever going to be. Maybe it's because
I've been struck so many times, you know, like
you're immune to it.
Yeah. Like, ah, don't hit me.
So NBA no later than May 8th, you had sent me a note about, so Serie A in Italy, they're saying May 18th for training. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. That's what the Italian government's saying. They set it for May 18th. And they could start playing games as early as June with no fans in the stadium.
Sure.
And they've been suspended since March 9th. So it'd be great to see that one.
And that's positive because I think obviously Italy was hard hit by the virus and they were certainly ahead of us. And so if their curve is flattening and I don't know this for sure, but if that's the case, if they're thinking about bringing back their premier sports league in that country, then hopefully we're not too far behind it.
Right, which then brings up a rules thing for the show. FIFA wants to let teams use 5 substitutions instead of 3 due to they think that guys are out of shape and higher than normal frequency in the matches that'll be coming up and lead to injuries.
It's interesting because, you know, I think soccer is certainly a sport where you can add a rule like that, and I think it makes sense. You think about our sports coming back, you know, are there going to be – you know, rules changes or some accommodation for the shorter off season, or in the NBA and NHL's case and baseball, like stopping in the middle of it or just at the start of it, you know, will there be a rule or some form of accommodation for those players not having the proper, you know, time to get ready.
Right. You have to think about these professional athletes. When was the last time they probably shut down and didn't do any kind of like competitive competition for a 6-week period? I can't imagine it's ever happened since they were like kids, because these guys are just like overly competitive and always doing something.
But according to Instagram, everybody's working out every single day. Like, what are you talking about?
Clearly, everybody's doing something.
Hashtag goals, right?
Goals, exactly.
I mean, even Dean's got the bands at his house. We saw.
I've got the resistance bands. I've got a jump rope. I haven't jump roped regularly probably since my 20s, and I've been doing it for the last 2 weeks. When I started, I looked like Rocky in Rocky One when he first started training for the Apollo fight. Now, after 2 weeks, I'm not quite like Rocky III with Apollo, but I'm like somewhere in that Rocky II, you know, range.
Can we have a jump rope?
I'm pretty good.
Can we have a jump rope contest?
Oh, yeah. I'm terrible. Okay. I was just going to say, I can't get like 5 in a row.
It's not, there's going to be style points as well. But are you doing it in the house?
That's the next thing I'm adding. I'm adding some flair to my next. Now that I'm feeling pretty confident, I'm going to add some double jumps, some kind of crisscross, you know, the whole deal. So. Yeah. I'll shoot a video. We'll do a.
I can maybe do 30 seconds straight, and then I always screw up.
I would take the under.
And you know what I recommend? Use a weighted rope. I'm using the weighted rope. I know we've used that, Joe, before when we trained with Chain, and that's hard.
That's
and
real hard.
You get a shoulder workout. I mean, it is. You know, my triceps start cramping. It's no joke.
Weird flex.
Weird flex.
So I've got triceps, just so y'all know.
When I saw that story about the substitutions, I had to look up what the average is for guys running and or you know players in a soccer match. Do you guys know how long it is? Like on estimated?
You know what I mean? Miles?
Yeah.
They definitely run. I'd say seven miles. A
nice
game.
Guess. Would you look it up? I shouldn't have put the question on the rundown.
I didn't look it up.
I did look it up. It was like between 5 and 9 at the most. Usually,
right. Yeah, I was going to go 4.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm a lazy soccer player.
Think about the you know the people on the pitch, right? Who run the most? Who do you think run the most in soccer?
It's the midfielders,
not the goalie.
But the referee.
Oh,
the referee
bringing it all back,
right?
Such a
the referee moment. Always has to be around the ball. They always have to be around, like to call fouls and things like that. So the referee runs. I would imagine if we could Google that, we can find out. The referee probably runs just as much as midfielders.
I could guarantee you that you can't Google that because nobody cares.
Joe,
I don't mean to downplay your profession. I know that this is your expertise, but.
Joe, the reason you are on a podcast right now is because of my profession.
This is true, and I appreciate it. You know,
that's not even a weird flex.
That's a flex for sure.
Legitimate flex.
Time out. All right, football referee word. Time out. The reason you went to one of the greatest Super Bowls and had one of the greatest experiences of your life that you continue to thank me for until the day I die was because of my profession.
This is true.
So if you went now, Travis made fun of a guy that was recovering from leukemia.
I didn't know.
My profession, the only friend I have in the world right now that's decent and honest and pure is Scott right here. So that's it.
You know what?
If anybody knows Scott knows that's not true.
That could be fair. Yeah.
All right. So let's shift gears. Let's talk about not coming back, but they are currently playing. Taiwan baseball, all right? And this week in Taiwanese baseball, I'm going to give you guys a tutorial on Taiwanese baseball, okay? So I'm going to share my screen. I did a little PowerPoint, and I'm going to share my screen. And hold on a second here. Okay.
All right.
Oh, that's not the right one. Sorry. One second.
Riveting for the listeners at home
We're cutting this out. Okay. Sorry. Wrong slide. All right. Okay, so Chinese Professional Baseball League, the CPBL, it's otherwise known.
Rolls up the tongue nicely.
Exactly. It was established in 1989. We're currently playing its 31st season by Brother Hotel's chairman, Hong Tang Shang. Okay, when you think about Chinese baseball, obviously in Asia, baseball is more of a Japanese sport. The Japanese have played baseball for many, many years. We've seen Japanese imports into the major league. Ichiro, Hideo Nomoi, the list goes on. We have so many good. But the Chinese baseball, Chinese are more into basketball, right? But under the Japanese occupation of China from 1895 to 1945, that's when kind of the baseball culture started to integrate into China. So just a little history for you. Clubs. Okay, so there are four clubs currently playing, and then there's a fifth club. So the China Trust Brothers, the Fubon Guardians, not to be confused with the New York Guardians of the recently defunct XFL. The Rakuten Monkeys, which up until 2019 were the Lamigo Monkeys. My favorite name, the Unipresident 7-Eleven Lions. Okay. And then the fifth team that will add, the fifth team that will start playing in 2021, they're currently playing in the minor league, is the Wei Xuan Dragons. Okay, so there's currently four teams. In 2021, we'll have five professional teams. The season goes from March to September, so very similar to our baseball season. There's an all-star break in either June, July, in that time range. It's a 120-game season. It's split into a first and second half. The half-season winners and the seasonal winner make the postseason. So if you win a half, you qualify for the postseason, and then the team with the overall best winning percentage gets a wild card. So there's three teams that make the playoffs. So out of a four-team league, you have a 75% chance to make the playoffs, which is unheard of. There's a best-of-five playoff series first, followed by a best-of-seven, the Taiwan series. If the same team wins both the first and second half, okay, so then the next two teams with the best winning percentages play, and the team that won both halves automatically gets one win in the Taiwan series. So there's your tutorial on the Chinese Professional Baseball League.
Nice.
So complicated.
Wow.
Hey, I did some research. I'm ready. Everybody, there's four of us. Everybody gets to pick a team. Although I'll give you a little background. The Unipresident 7-Eleven Lions have won the most championship. They've won nine, but this is the Rakuten Monkeys, who were formerly the Lamigo Monkeys, they're like the New England Patriots of the Chinese Professional Baseball League. They have won six of the last eight Taiwan series. Just telling you. And the last three in a row.
So who gets to pick first?
Everybody gets a pick. I will pick last because I obviously know the most about the league.
I got to go Lions strictly for the tattoo.
Okay, right? So Joe, your team is the Lions, and this will be a bet, and whoever wins the championship this year will get to, we'll come up with some type of, something we could do.
Right. Some amazing prize.
Lions for me.
Lions. Travis?
I'm going with the Monkeys.
So Travis goes with
the Monkeys.
Good.
Well, I was just going to say, so is it the Guardians is left?
Yeah, the Fubon Guardians and the China Trust Brothers.
I'll do the Guardians in honor of the recently deceased league.
Got it. So I'll be the China Trust Brothers.
Which is a great name too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Can we be the Trust Brothers? Can we nickname ourselves the Trust Brothers?
Not with that haircut.
I don't know. Yeah,
we're in the trust tree here, though. That's the thing.
You lost all trust when you did that to your hair.
It'll grow back.
Recently, we were at Olive Garden, which was lovely. I was a waitress, and I started
to
whiten
up. It'll grow back, guys. I know you miss my hair and me use the Murrays.
Stop talking about your hair, Travis. We are going to go to break, and Joe is going to get another chance at taking us to break.
All right.
Because last week was just abysmal.
Okay? No, I wasn't prepared. All right. So let's go to break. When we come back, Travis is going to get to do his best play-by-play. We'll be talking all things MJ and The Last Dance and how Scott, a toothbrush, changed Scott's life. Next on Good Calls.
All right, we're back. I didn't think we were ever going to get to break because Joe went on and on. I thought he was going to tell us what we were going to hear from the next four shows. But much better performance, Joe, in taking us to break than last week. But you only had one direction. You can only go up from there. So nice job. We're back. Let's talk Last Dance. Obviously, this is the ESPN documentary, and I still have not watched, but you three have all watched it. I gave my reasons last week why I'm not watching, but I know enough about it, and I could certainly chime into the conversation. But you guys go with this. I guess it was right episode 3 and 4 mm-hmm. on this week or Sunday. And what thoughts? What do you think, Scott? You had some pretty good. You know, you're probably the biggest basketball fan of the group. What were your takeaways?
Well, one complaint that I have right away, and I had this after the first two episodes, is just that people have really been fawning over this, but I feel like there hasn't been enough. Maybe I'm misrepresenting this, but when the original pitch was coming out, like, hey, they're working on this series, they were saying there's so much behind the scenes stuff, unprecedented access. Most of the stories you're hearing are things we already know. Michael Jordan's very competitive. You know, the Pistons, like, helped transform the team. Yeah. Phil Jackson was kind of a hippie guy. He's bringing his own philosophy. So I want to see more.
Like never before seen footage.
Yes. And you get a little bit, sometimes a little bit of X's and O's of like bench talk, which is really fascinating. You get some more insight into anecdotes about, like, you know, the most recent episodes had Rodman going to Vegas, or, you know, like it, Carmen Electra pops up and talks about stuff. But I just feel like it helps reframe it. This is first and foremost about Michael Jordan, and then it's about that final season that they had with the Bulls. So it's not all this revelatory stuff, and we're still too close to it for Jordan, I think, to be completely open with new stories and things. You can still tell he's guarded. This is an NBA production. They're not going to let it go completely insane.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, Jordan, he sold this thing, and like, it was always built up at the beginning. Oh, you're going to think of me as a horrible person. I haven't seen anything that I didn't. He looks great in my mind. I love Jordan, and we talked about this last week, and nothing in it has showed me, oh, this guy's a horrible person.
Yeah. The message.
So what?
Yeah. Like, the message from the first couple episodes is like, here's what we know. He loves his mom. And he doesn't do drugs like the rest of the Chicago Bulls. So it's like, what a bad guy. It was just like, although I did like the most recent two episodes more. You get a little bit more behind the scenes look of things. And, I like seeing just the raw footage of Dennis Rodman was signing autographs in like the tunnel, and you're just seeing this time capsule footage, and you're just like, wow, I wonder what those kids are up to. Like, what's he, it's just like, it's that stuff that's really fun.
Yeah. Joe?
You know,
Joe's busy eating seeds right now.
I watched it last night, but I fell asleep. So I got to the part when Dennis Rodman started dyeing his hair, and I knocked out. So.
Well, you know, I'll probably, you know, maybe when it's all over and it's all out, maybe I'll watch at some point. But I think I do feel like there's an element of, because of the environment we're in today, it's probably more hyped than it could possibly would be if there was a ton of other things going on. Like, this is one of the, it was going to be big either way. Mm-hmm. But obviously with the environment and coronavirus and everything else and no sports, this is one thing that we all have and we can all watch.
It is nice because some of this stuff I haven't seen, like Scottie Pippen footage from college, Dennis Rodman's college stuff. And you're like, wow, these guys were like like amazing athletes and getting to know, I mean, there was a full 30 for 30 Dennis Rodman documentary just a few months ago. So, but it is nice to get all of this. The juiciest thing probably last night was Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. Like, clearly there is no love lost. And that's what I want more of, and less of just like the same mythologizing of like, Jordan is really a tough guy and he hates losing. It's like, we know that, but like to see him talking shit, to see him like they're swearing basically at each other, and then to see them just like be angry, you know, like there's still, and then even the one other anecdote was, you know, there's a Scottie Pippen game where he has a migraine, and you know, Jordan, even today in the contemporary interviews, is like, doesn't buy it. He just is like, no, he doesn't have a migraine.
I saw that clip on Twitter, and where they were showing, because I don't, as much as I don't like Jordan, I'm not a Pippen fan either. And it was like Jordan was kind of like, he rolled his eyes when they talked about Scottie Pippen with the migraine game and his migraines. So, and I know he, you know, from what I read about the first episode or the first two episodes when Pippen kind of took the summer off and didn't get surgery when he could have because he wasn't getting paid, what he thought, which properly, you know, correctly, he should have been paid more. And Jordan had a problem with that. But the thing about Michael Jordan, obviously, like you said, he was a fierce competitor. He made people, he forced people to be better. And that's what, you know, part of his greatness. It doesn't mean that I have to like him. And I always liked the Isaiah Thomas was always one of my favorite players. And I thought, you know, Isaiah, here's a guy that's 5'11". Those Pistons teams, I enjoyed watching those Pistons teams because they were kind of like my Knicks during that time as well. We was a blue collar. We're going to beat you up. No easy layups type thing. And obviously Jordan rose above that. And again, you can't question his greatness. But you know, if you gave me Isaiah Thomas over, you know, I'd take Isaiah Thomas over Michael Jordan, just fan wise. But that, all that said, me and Michael Jordan do have something in common. We do. So what, one of my favorite players of all time, and I mean, not that I got to watch him all that much because I was little and he played when he played, but is also Michael Jordan's favorite player and the guy that inducted him into the Hall of Fame. Does anybody know who that is?
I can't recall. Probably
not. This is probably one of the guys that David Thompson. So David Thompson played for the Nuggets. He's in the Hall of Fame. Michael Jordan, he patterned his game off of David Thompson, and he said, Michael Jordan has said that David Thompson was the guy that made him fall in love with the NBA. If you are bored and you want to just go on YouTube, Google David Thompson highlights. Trust me when I tell you. Trust me, David Thompson highlights, and you will be, this guy is unbelievable. And you can see a lot of Michael Jordan in this game, and he actually inducted Michael Jordan, picked David Thompson to do his introduction in the Basketball Hall of Fame. So, not my favorite player of all time. My favorite player of all time was Bernard King, who played for the Knicks, who dropped 60 on the Celtics in a playoff game, but that's besides the point. Okay, enough of the Last Dance. We've been doing Joe's social distancing tips, and Joe's is not a very good social distancer. I think Travis is doing well. Scott and I, this is right up our alley.
I thought, you know, I did a great job last week. Just saying.
Joe, that's okay. Don't worry. You don't have to.
You don't have to justify it to us.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine.
You know what, Travis?
tell us,
Travis. We have to cut your camera off. I cannot look at you with that haircut. I'm sorry. Like,
tell us. He's got a,
just because I look good with the shaved head.
He's got a protest to go to later. So what? Joe, what is the first thing? Let's spin it. Let's do positive. What's the first thing everybody's going to do when this is all over?
It's a great question. I'm going to keep it PG-13. I'm going to get a steak dinner. I'm going to go to the mall. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to buy some clothes.
That's PG-13.
PG. And then I'm going to get like this, the most beautiful steak dinner, and I will be drinking booze. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to talk to everybody. Hey, what's up, waiter?
Okay. You do that now, okay? You do that normally.
I haven't done it for like 6 weeks.
Yeah. All right. So steak dinner, booze, things you could do right now at home, but you're going to talk to everybody.
I do steak dinners at home and drink booze every night, but it's, I want to be out. I want to be out. I want to see people. I'm going to hug someone random. Squeeze the shit out of
someone. I don't think that's going to go over very well. Unfortunately,
I'm good with that. I won't live in a world without hugs.
I don't look like you, Travis.
I won't either.
I know the doctrine you're trying to push, you know, with your new haircut, but we're not going to have it on this show, Travis.
That's right. We know no one's going to want to hug you, Remy.
Okay. If I put a hat on, I look the same as you guys. How do you know?
What's the first thing you're going to do, Travis? Well, what are you looking most forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to just getting back to going to work and seeing people, my colleagues.
But honestly,
like also to have a barbecue at my house, to go to the beach, play volleyball, and bring my kids to the beach. Like just, you know, normal things.
Dean, where did you find this guy? I'm looking forward to going to work. I'm gonna roll it.
I get that a little bit. You guys don't have structured jobs like most Americans do. Most hardworking Americans.
Speaking of that, Scott, you got your stimulus check.
Oh yeah.
A letter from the president.
Yeah, so I got a direct deposit because I file my taxes to get direct deposit, but he felt he needed to send me a letter just so I knew that it was from him.
He's
from
watching you.
It is from him, Scott.
Yeah, and as far, you know, maybe I'll use that for when we get out of this. What do I want to do once this is all over? It is kind of a boring answer too, but like I'm a bit of a, you know, a lot of times I try to make excuses to not go out. But weirdly now when you can't go out at all, you know, it'd be nice to just go to the bar, hang out with friends all night. Like, just be out and about because, again, it's that thing where when they tell you you can't do it, then you're like, God, I miss this.
Can you imagine what the bar, what the Hermosa Pier is going to look like the day after they release this thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be, I took a walk on the Santa Monica Promenade on Sunday, and that's, you know,
that video is eerie.
Sunday night is it's packed. I mean, you'll have people from the area, you'll have tourists, there's no one. I mean, there's a lot of homeless people, but there's just not a lot of life in terms of people walking around and shopping, and stores are closed, and it's definitely, you know, just being able to go and people watch and sit. Now I'm actually looking forward to that. Like I would go with my two sons, and we would go sit at one of the outdoor spots and eat and watch people and hang out. But I'm definitely, I promised Joe, I'm going to be more social when this is over. I'm going to go out. I'm going to talk to people, and I'll do my part to share in, you know, hopefully what will be a summer of, let's come up with a name. Let's figure out a name for the summer. If we come out of this, it's going to be the summer of what? So we'll all kind of think, put our thinking caps on and come up with a name.
Resurrection.
We'll put it on. Okay, Travis, again,
I cannot look at him. We have to cut his camera. I can't look at the dude.
The summer of states' rights.
The summer I got my guns back.
Like, I feel like he's going to show up in, like, the general lead of Fox next year.
It's we got to watch out for Travis.
People need to see it. It's not that crazy. We're making it sound insane.
I'm worried about him. If he grew a goatee, he's basically Ed Norton in America History X. It's fine.
Dean, you're gonna people watch.
At one point, maybe.
All right.
What's that, Joe?
So you're gonna people watch. That's what you're gonna do. But we are gonna go. Oh, by the way, Shane and Marie are coming with us to the Jersey Shore. They're from Philly, so they're coming.
Oh, that's actually what I'm looking forward to, the Jersey Shore trip.
Oh my God.
And the Wyoming trip.
The Wyoming trip. I definitely would. So I'm already next spring. So spring 2021, I want to do, let's go to Europe. There's places I want to go in Europe. I want to do something, some kind of trip. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. But we'll talk, you know, we've been doing best, you know, what's the most recent in terms of COVID-19 internet content? I think one of the silver linings of this is the creativity, and everybody's been, you know, online doing different things. What's the most recent thing we've seen that we liked?
Well, I like the one that Joe sent us with the towel. or the blanket, whatever it was. Really
good. you know which one is another one I liked was, have you seen the Family Olympics? So it's this family, they're like in they're quarantined. So it's a family in a house and they're just making up games. They had like a blindfolded dodgeball with toilet paper rolls. So everybody blindfold themselves. They just start chucking toilet paper rolls at each other.
They're wasting toilet paper.
No. The rolls are still good. They did another thing where it's like you have to get exactly 10 ice cubes in the cup. So you go to your freezer and you put the cup there and see who could get to 10. Like they just make all these kind of fun in-home games and they're doing I thought it was a pretty good job. That was cool.
That's cool. I might incorporate a little bit of that. I like the one, you know, the towel one Joe sent was good. There's been a couple of others that come to mind, but I can't really, there's just been so much. Scott, anything that jumps out?
Well, nothing recently that jumps out. Can I go negative on this one?
Yeah, sure.
That's your job, right?
Yeah.
That's your job. Scott is always, we're all positive and then Scott like brings us down.
I just am getting sick of those positive affirmation, like you can call them memes, you can call them just image macros, whatever, where it's just like, you know, where it'll be something like, hey, during this break, you know, it's like, or not break, but during this, while you're at home, you can work on like something you've been putting off or whatever. But then there's all the people who are like, you know what? Just relaxing is enough. You don't have to do it. It's like, yeah, we know this. people aren't like, it's like, I didn't write the great American novel.
How many celebrities have to tell you what to do during this quarantine?
Right. Well, but then they also, the celebrities are also who are like, it's like, it's okay if you're stressed. It's like, we know.
We know. Yeah.
It's just enough.
Exactly.
All this stuff with like families, like where they're all together and they're goofing around. Those are all fun. That's all fun. We're all just goofing around. We may be stressed, but we can goof around a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing. It did bring up, I was thinking of like all the internet content that's out there now. I was thinking of like, what are some of the greatest viral videos of all time? Like as the internet has grown, you know, there's those things. And there's one, like, I want to hear from you guys. Like one that you'll always remember. Like the first time you saw it, you were like, what the heck is this?
I mean, there's, this is one that I think I showed you guys this during the football season, but this almost sort of predates, it might predate YouTube, but there's a guy where it's like QVC and he's trying to sell, I think it's just a display and he's like, oh, now I'm forgetting, but it's like, look at this horse or whatever. He's like, I will double check right now while other people talk, but he's like, look at this horse. It's beautiful. Look at its mane. Like he's not looking at the screen and then it's just like, my producer's telling me that's a butterfly. Like, but he's just like, it's,
I don't remember that.
It is crazy. And then the other one would be like just all the vines, you know, that's not that old, but just, so this isn't the first, but there's one where this guy's doing like a backflips in a Krispy Kreme and then the camera, like great cuts. It cuts right when he like backflips into a sign and it's about to smash down. That was like the beauty of Vine. It like, you got just like, it was just the punchline. You just get this insane 6 second clip.
The one that for me that I don't, and I was always like, I had to research what the heck it was. But do you guys remember the Techno Viking?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The Techno Viking, like, go just for those of you who are listening, just Google Techno Viking and watch the video and then explain it to me what's happening because it is insane. it's insane. It's like a, I don't know where it is, but it's some kind of festival and it's like people walking in the street and they're high as, you know, and they're just, and this dude, this like big rip dude comes in wearing like cargo shorts and he looks like a Viking and he just starts walking towards the camera and like dancing. It's insane. So just watch Techno Viking. I don't know why I was thinking of that, but
you know what I saw today? Somebody brought back the Harlem, was it Harlem Shake?
Yes.
Remember, I saw somebody bring that back and it was, you know what? It,
It was good. Good job. Good work.
The one in Harlem Shake one I remember is like, I think it's in Russia or Eastern Europe, and they're doing it in a garage, and like a gas can explodes during it. And I was just like, it's
like there's a whole Twitter account only in Russia or whatever it is. Have you followed that? There's some crazy shit that happens in Russia. I don't know, man.
Yeah, Russia's out of control.
It's just in, right?
That's why I was surprised when Rocky just like he agreed to fight Drago in Russia.
That was crazy. No one would ever
like,
do that.
Why would you do that? Like, he just killed your best friend. Now you're going to go to Russia on Christmas and fight him?
How is Dana not like re-promoting that with Khabib? Well, like, that should be I can already see Dana like, this is like the real life Rocky IV. You know, whoever
that's
versus
like
Khabib.
You read stories about like, I mean, I've heard like guys go on Rogan's podcast and talk about Dagestan, where Khabib is from. Is like, that's no joke. You don't want to like walk around there and not know anyone.
So should we go?
Yeah, we can go and see how it is.
2022 Russia.
But it's like Dagestan. Scott got a new toothbrush. sounds awesome. Sounds awesome. What is it? I have an electric toothbrush, but your electric toothbrush sounds much cooler than mine.
Yeah, well, it's the Oral-B Black 1000.
Greatest thing ever for
Travis
toothbrush.
Will never buy that toothbrush with that haircut.
Yeah, it comes in other colors also.
Travis, with that haircut, if you get the Black 1000, you're just throwing it in everybody's face.
Hey, I just recommend it to anyone. My dentist for years has been saying, get an electric toothbrush. And for years, I was just like, nah, why would I spend $50 on a toothbrush? Guess what? I've been brushing for 4 days with this. Game changer. My teeth feel better. My teeth feel cleaner.
Do you know Scott, you know there's a 7,000. You have the 1,000 and there's a 7,000.
I know. Well, that's exactly the point where it's just like, I'm dipping my...
You know which one I'm getting.
Guess which one I'm getting.
Yeah. Everyone is getting 7,000.
How about Dean's Flex?
You and your stimulus check 1,000, Scott.
Mm-hmm. I know you didn't even get one because you make enough that the government has decided, hey, this guy makes enough money. He doesn't even need stimulus.
I told you about the secret check that we all get that you guys don't know about.
That makes sense.
It's got a couple extra zeros at the end.
What? Nice. Speaking of zeros, okay, what is everybody watching? Because the show that I just finished was on Amazon Prime 000.
Can we talk about that segue? I mean, that was business.
Amazing.
That was
unbelievable. Not planned. So 000, really good on Amazon Prime. I recommend it. The other thing I just finished that you all need to watch that I kind of had an idea, but I never really knew. And obviously this was it wasn't a real documentary. It was a dramatic, interpretation of what happened, but Waco on Netflix was insane. I had no idea. Like, you know, it's general, it's told from one point of view, more of kind of like the Branch Davidians side of the story, but it is nuts. It is really good. Watch Waco on Netflix.
That was weird that like Netflix just started pushing that, because that's a show that came out a couple years ago on Paramount Network. So I whenever I was opening Netflix, I was seeing that too. I was like, I got to check that out.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. Check it out.
David Koresh, very chill dude, right?
It was just like, but though, like, again, like, you don't know, like, they went inside, obviously, and he was a big part of it. What's his face? Taylor Klitsch. Klitsch, is that his name?
Kitsch, Clay? I think. Taylor Kitsch.
Clay, I mean, I think he's one of the executive producers. And just, it was really, like, well-acted. It was really, like, you do get, because there was a couple of books that it's based on, and one of the books that's based on was the FBI, the lead negotiator. I mean, he's one of the main characters in the series. And it was just like, it's just fascinating. I really enjoyed it and enjoyed watching it. It was just interesting. And obviously, an unbelievable tragedy, what happened.
I still don't know where you find the time to just watch so much TV.
Do you sleep?
What else are we doing? Like, you can't go out.
I'm editing videos for your podcast. I'm editing audio for your podcast. Yes. You know,
you're working more now than you ever were before.
This is actually true.
I wanted to talk about a show that I watched on Apple TV Plus. I watched The Beastie Boys Story, which Dean, you should watch. You know, because they're from New York.
I gotta check that out. Yeah.
It was awesome. Like the story was just really well done. They're such great writers, and their rise and their highs and their lows and the roller coaster ride that like those three guys were so amazing, and what they did for music and the different things they did. It was just they were so revolutionary and changed music forever. And it was just cool. It was just cool to watch. Like, I am love a big those Beastie Boys fan. About bands.
Beastie Boys were legit. I think about
groups and music that were kind of, like you said, use the word revolutionary. Certainly the Beastie Boys, you know, you think about the grunge movement with Nirvana, mm-hmm. and NWA and the whole gangster rap and all of that. And, you know, they wouldn't call it gangster rap, but that's what it was labeled. And the Beatles and so many, like, but yeah, the Beastie Boys are up there in terms of game changers. No question.
It was cool.
They
made it okay for
Travis to rap.
They did. They definitely made it okay for Travis to rap. I would have said Travis before this haircut would have been doing that, but I don't know where he's going now.
You guys are focusing on this haircut way too much.
I agree. It's
should have kept the hat on. You with this group, you didn't think we were going to rip it apart. All right, this has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast. And be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.